To be honest, I'd love to know, first of all, how you got involved with Grant Cameron and what's your story, because I don't really know much about you. So please, you know, let my listeners know as well.
Well, I met Grant in Vancouver, actually. I live in Winnipeg right now, which is where he lives as well. So it's very easy for us to be able to be working together. We just go to Tim Hortons or whatever and meet for coffee and sort things out what we want to do. But I was actually living in Vancouver in 2015, and there was the Disclosure tour that went across right. Canada, and with Richard Dolan, Steve Bassett, oh my gosh, Paul Hellier, I think, was there, and
right.
There's a handful of people on it, and Grant was there, and I didn't know who Grant was at the time. I had sort of decided to move to Vancouver because Winnipeg is a decent size. We almost have 1 million people, you know, 750,000 people
yeah.
here. Vancouver, I've lived there before, and it's a huge city and much more, you know, maybe open-minded or, you know, more of a, I don't know how to say it, but there's more people. So I thought if I had the opportunity to go back, I would definitely do it because I was interested in, of course, gathering with more like-minded people kind of thing. So right. I went out there, and there was a meetups. I found out about the meetups groups, and there was, you know, C5 groups and UFO meetup groups and everything. And so I started attending some of those, and that's how I heard about the conference, the Disclosure conference. And I went to that, and Grant got up on stage. I'd never heard of him, and started saying that he was from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and had a group that met at the university here, you know, once a month for a, you know, I don't know if they were even, yeah, they might've been listed under a meetup group, but I had never heard of them. And I was so shocked that something was happening in the city that I literally just moved away from. I thought there was no one here doing that.
Right.
And,
right.
And then he's talking about Winnipeg, and I was like, oh my God. And I had potentially, possibly never gone up to someone after like a show or a conference or something to actually speak to someone. I'm not
yeah.
really that kind of person. So I was like, but I have to, because I couldn't even believe it. So I went up to him after, and I'm like, you're from Winnipeg and you have a group there? Like, oh my God, I just moved from there and everything. So I started, as I was coming home, you know, every couple of months or whatever, I started going to the group here in Winnipeg, and yeah, and just got to start to be friends with them, and noticed that I hadn't heard of him because he wasn't on YouTube. And I guess at that time, the job I had afforded me a lot of time to be on my phone, I guess, during the day while I was working, kind of. And I was watching YouTube lectures like there's no tomorrow, like 10 hours a day, maybe. And I knew about a lot of people, but I didn't know about Grant. So I was like, you need to get your stuff on YouTube. Like, you have so much information locked up in your head and all these books and all this information. It's like, yeah. You need to start doing something. You need to be on YouTube, because I didn't know who he was. And I was like, so, you know, this is what everyone's doing. So we, kind of just decided to buy a video.
Oh, good. So it was you that kind of pushed the whole idea of getting him onto YouTube then?
Yeah. I didn't know how to do it, mind you. I had no idea what I was doing. But I learned how to do it just to try to get, the information out, because I was so addicted to watching all these videos and lectures like all day, every day. And I just thought, like, he's got so much information that I thought, we got to figure out how to do this and get the information out. So.
Oh, yeah. I know the feeling when you have to get the information out after you've realized a certain amount of things.
Absolutely. It's like an obsession, right?
No, I was just saying that in regards to my own experiences with these like kind of orange orbs, a lot of my channels already heard me talk about those quite a lot. So I'd love to hear your stories, because you reached out to me and told me you'd had similar experiences, but I don't know what those experiences are yet. You haven't told me, so I'm anxious to know myself.
Okay. Yeah, the orange orbs. I've had blue orbs in my house before.
Oh, wow.
Just like that my dog has actually seen at this, and my dog's actions or like strange noises that he was making when he saw this orb is what alerted me to look at him, which
right.
Look at this orb and watch these orbs in the house. But for the orange orbs, I had a very I've had many sightings, UFO sightings, with other people and by myself since I was like a kid, you know, different things where we'd go like, what's that? You know, when we had no idea
what
it was, but you know, drinking when you're a kid in the playground of your school or something like that. It's like, wow, look at that. And we would sit down and like line up the basketball post kind of thing and go, but it's going that way and that way. Like, is that a, you know, we wouldn't have even known if that was a plane in those days, but we would go out and see these things all the time as well. But for the orange orbs, in 2012, I had a huge 5-day sighting where every night for 5 nights, I went out and I saw the most insane things that I'd ever seen. Instead of it being very small points of light, which is what it most, like 99% of the time of my whole life, those sightings were just small bits of light. And eventually, you know, I learned that if it goes back and forth, obviously it's not a plane kind of thing, or a satellite or anything like that. But 2012, I had 5 nights where I was out. I used to walk at, you know, after midnight or whatever, just for an hour or whatever around my house. And there was a night, it was strangely 5 nights before I decided to do a solo backpacking Ireland and the UK. Actually, I went by myself for the first time ever for months.
And awesome.
I'd never traveled before by myself. I'd never been to Ireland or England actually at that time. And it keeps always making me wonder if this is what kind of spurred it on my mindset or something at the time, because I was a little bit nervous to be going by myself. But anyways, it's a really long story, but the orb part of it is like, so I went out and just, you know, one night started seeing like all these lights again, going like, wow, this is like, there's a lot of them. It looks like they're playing with each other, but this is still the points of light, but going back and forth. And they all seem to be coming from this one extra black spot in the sky, which I wouldn't have even termed portal at the time, or some kind of like opening space. But there's all these things going back and forth. And I was like, wow, you know, maybe it's UFOs again. Right. But I knew a lot about it, but I didn't, that wasn't the only thing at the time that I was really following or interested in. So I was just keeping track of like, wow, this is like, what's happening up there tonight.
At this point, were you, real quick, were you engaged in any sort of CE5 at this point?
No.
No,
definitely not. 2012, I had been definitely aware of, you know, and been watching Ancient Aliens probably in shows like that at the time. And definitely I'd watch every, you know, UFO or alien movie kind of thing. And I had many books about it, but that was not anywhere near my prime focus. So I didn't ever research it enough to know anything more specific.
Right. So what? Yeah. So you weren't going out with the intention of making contact. You were just seeing things. They would just seem to happen around you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just going for a walk. I was trying to like not get in shape. I was trying to like walk a lot because I was about to be carrying a 50-pound backpack. Right. So I was just like going for a walk every night.
And just having these things happen to you.
Yeah, and it was only those 5 nights before I left, so it happened right until the night before I actually went to on my trip or whatever. And so I saw a bunch of things one night, but small things, but a lot of them, and I was quite freaked out. And the next night I went, and the next night right when I left my house, actually, there was a huge orb that as soon as I left my house, I basically, it was like coming over the trees. Right as soon as I walked out of my house and going towards the path of where I was walking. And I just thought, like, I knew about UFOs, but I wouldn't have known what in the world that could pop. And it was so I was like, what in the world could that possibly be? Like, that
is wow.
And I went walking, and there was many crazy things for 5 days. Many things. The biggest of which was I saw them on the horizon, and for me now, what I recognize for sure as potentially one of the clues that it is a UFO is that for me, I noticed that it kind of like bobs. It doesn't just straight. It kind of like
gravity wells.
Yes, exactly. And so I was like, okay, that can't. And it was far away still, and it was green, a green light kind of. But it was, instead of a plane going straight with the green blinking light, it was like bobbing. So I just thought, what is, and this was the second night after I saw the orb at the beginning of this night. So I just thought, if you're a UFO, come here. I have no idea why I said that, but literally the second I said it, it instead of it going like this way, it just started coming directly for me. And I thought, oh my God, that's weird. But I still didn't think it was, didn't really think, oh, I just called it here, right? I just thought, oh my God,
yeah,
it's coming right for me. Yeah. Now. And it took minutes. It was very, very, very far away, and it was coming closer, closer, closer. And it had blinking lights. And the closer it got, at one point, the light stopped blinking, and it was just two white lights. And I just thought, oh my God, it's coming right. That's really crazy. It's coming right for me. And then at one point, the lights went together, moved and went together. And I thought,
right,
what in the world could possibly cause that?
And how are you feeling at the time? How are you feeling?
Well, at this, I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't believe it was it. Yeah. I said, if you're a UFO, come here. But I mean, I didn't really think
you couldn't really comprehend that. Yeah, yeah.
No, and at that point, I wouldn't have even known you can have direct contact. No. Like, I didn't even, I just thought, oh, that's like, what strange timing.
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. So it started coming towards me, and it was coming slower and slower, and I wasn't scared because I just kept thinking. Then I started thinking in 2012 drones were like a new thing, but I
didn't have
any idea what a drone was. I knew a kid could have a little thing and control it, but I was just thinking, is this a drone? Is this like,
you're like, what somewhere? The hell?
Yeah. I was like, that's really weird because it was so far away. So if there's a kid that knows that I'm at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no one around my neighborhood, standing in the dark by myself, and some kid can tell and was so far away, and then knew, and it came the exact second I asked it to come. I just thought, what's that? But I really did think it must be a drone.
I have to say, it's kind of funny how like the logic center goes to that type of idea, even though that's actually kind of probably more outlandish.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, it must be a kid's drone that did that. Like, no, you called it over.
Absolutely. Even though the first thought was, if you're a UFO, come here. So I don't even know why I would have thought that.
Exactly.
You don't really think it's going to happen, right?
No,
so it was coming
closer
and closer, and it was getting brighter and brighter. And it was the brightest white light I'd ever seen in my entire life. That also didn't trigger anything. I just kept thinking, like, it's so bright that it wasn't bright enough to make me have to squint.
It's like they were really trying to convince you.
I know.
Like, go on, make it brighter. Do something.
I know. And your mind is just like, okay, it's super bright. Wow, that's so bright. And I thought, if this is a plane, but it's not making any noise. So I thought, but it's so weird that it took a direct like 90-degree turn and came right for me the second. And it's coming closer and closer and closer. And then the one light again splits back into two. And now they're kind of not even they're kind of like moving like this. And I thought, oh my God. So is it one thing or two things? And then I started thinking, uh-oh, like what exactly is happening here? Because now it's coming close. Now it's maybe a couple hundred feet away. And looking like it was only, maybe 100 feet off the ground. It wasn't like way up there. It was close. And it was coming.
Right.
And it started getting slower and slower, and it was getting brighter and brighter. And I was thinking, what in the world? There's a kid somewhere. How could he see me? So I was standing in front of this elementary school, like just on the path. And then it went right on top of the elementary school. So it was maybe 50 feet on top of the school and maybe 100 feet away from me. And it stopped. And it just stopped on top of that school, and it was so bright, and I saw it was lighting up everything around it.
Oh my God.
I was looking around, and there was no one around, of course. And then I started thinking, I'm leaving in a couple of days, and I was like by myself in my house at the time, and I was taking a cab to the airport. I was going to be gone for 3 or 4 or 5 months, like an indefinite amount of time.
I just thought,
if something weird, like, am I being really stupid by walking by myself at 1 o'clock in the morning? Is this thing actually a UFO and it's going to like take me away and no one's going to recognize because they don't think
I'm
for 6 months? I'm just going to disappear or something. And I started thinking, should I be scared? And like, and as it was sitting there, and I just thought in my head, one of the thoughts was like what in the world is it doing? Because it seems like it's watching me because it stopped right in front of me and it came when I called. And I was just thinking, I don't know about drones. I was like, can you stop it and make it just sit there? Does it make noise? I didn't know about that. But as I was starting to get scared, I thought, it looks like it's looking at me. Like, I wonder what it's doing. Or, in my head, I thought something like that. And then into my head came, we're scanning you. And I didn't think that was coming from it. Again, in those days, I just thought, I don't know why, I just had that weird thought. And so
right.
I was like, okay. And then I started getting more and more scared because it wasn't moving and it was so bright. And I started thinking like, I don't know if this is a drone, but maybe I should be not here right now. So I
started
getting more and more scared. And as I was getting more and more scared, I decided I have to run. Like, I was getting so scared, but the second I decided I'm running back towards home, like that way, as the like anxiety or fear or whatever was building up, I had the feeling like time slowed down. So time slowed down so much. I could feel every muscle and tendon and, you know, bit of my body about to run, but since I was here, it felt like the cartoons, like when, you know, I don't know if that's like Bugs Bunny or something, when the cartoon, they go like this and then run that way.
yeah, I know what you mean.
And that's what my muscles were all tensing up this way.
Oh my god,
that way. But I could feel, it felt like it was a year, and every single muscle in my body, I could feel it soup like by millisecond tensing up this way to like slingshot me to start running that way. And I didn't know that was like the Oz effect. I didn't know anything. I just thought, I had no idea what was happening, but everything went quiet before this happened. All of the crickets, like all of the noise that was happening outside.
Yeah.
Silent. I thought it was just something in my ear that, like, I don't know. I didn't even understand, so I just thought something weird's happening. And then all the muscles turned up, and then as I slingshotted myself that way, finally when it like let me out of the time warp thing and I started running, the physics of my body, you know, being tensed up made me run a couple steps. But the second I was released from that and did run, out of the corner of my eye, the millisecond, because I was doing milliseconds at the time, the millisecond I started running, it turned and it went the other way. So it went back. So it was coming like from this way. And then when I said, come here, did a 90 degree this way, it was coming right in front of me. And then the second I started running, it did a 90 degree going back towards where it came from, basically back that way. I don't know, that's like south. It was coming in a northerly direction and then came 90 degrees towards me. And then the second I started running, it went back. And the crazy thing is, because the time was so slow, I could really tell, because it was like, you know, like I said, I was dealing with the milliseconds. I could tell that the second I ran, it moved, and it made me, anyway, I took two or three steps just because of the propulsion of my muscles being tensed or whatever. And I only took two steps and I instantly started bawling and felt. like the worst feeling ever. Like it was literally like I just ran away from the most important thing that I could ever, you know, I just felt I can't even really explain it, but it was like, I was like, I just made the biggest mistake of my life running.
Missed out on an opportunity.
And had this instant connection with it, that it was like the most, you know, loving, important connection of my life. And I was just instantly instantly bawling again at 1 o'clock in the morning by myself on the middle
of the sidewalk. I've been there so I've done the same thing. After my first couple of experiences, I cried like a baby.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think and who knows what happens in that time, that if you made the connection and you can't remember it, and that's the feeling that you get once you're, you know, released.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, like, in hindsight, do you like feel like there was any reason to be afraid, or was it just your kind of fight or flight response, human fight or flight?
Yeah. And
or do you feel like there was any sort of intuition going on and there was a reason to run, or do you think it was just, you know, your human response?
Absolutely, human response, because after it started going the opposite way and I was bawling, I chased I ran like faster than I've ever run in my life. I was like a crazy person, like, come back, oh my god, like still bawling but chasing it. And it didn't care. It kept going.
No, they just go where they go.
I chased it and cried for like half an hour as I was watching it go, and but was, you know, still pretty confused at why I was crying, because I didn't have any memory, or I didn't have any, you know, place.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, that was the craziest thing ever. And I watched it for, you know, maybe 5 minutes, maybe it took for me to be chasing it. And I ran to the edge of the city, basically, where we just have this highway around the edge of the city. And I could see it had two red blinking lights from the behind. And wow. And I watched them, you know, blinking and going, you know, as far as you could see. It's just farmland after this. So I could see it for a long time. It wasn't houses at the time. It's just all farmland.
Yeah.
And I watched it go for a long time. And I was like, just thinking like, oh my God, like what, I don't know what happened, but immediately right. after that, another thing happened and another thing. And every night for the couple nights, something was happening. And it, to the point of where, I hate to say I was like getting bored of it, but I had,
I've been there as well.
Yeah. So isn't that crazy? It's like I couldn't even believe that it was the UFO. So in my mind, I just kept thinking like, I don't know what this is. And I was texting people. I had a flip phone at the time. I don't even think it had a camera on it. So I never even had in my head that I should be trying to
filming it or anything.
No, but I was definitely, I had a handful of friends that I was texting going like, I think I'm seeing you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
But, and my friends were of course saying like, yeah, you're crazy. But I was just saying, there's so many things in the sky. And a couple of those nights there was someone who would be walking their dog or something. And I would say like, are you seeing all this crazy stuff?
Yeah.
And no one answered me. No one said yes or no, or even answered, like no one responded, but there was at least four Weird. Different people that I, you know, that I walked past and just said like, are you seeing, I can't remember what I said, but something like, are you seeing what is happening in the sky tonight? I don't know what's happening.
They're probably like, okay, crazy lady, okay.
I know, absolutely. But yeah, none of them responded, but every person that I saw, I definitely said something to, just because, and I would come home and then go online and I didn't even know what to look for. I don't even remember if I knew what MUFON was at that time. Calling in and, you know, doing the report or whatever for MUFON. But at the time I was just like going on Google, like Winnipeg skies, something weird in the sky, UFO Winnipeg. I was doing everything and nothing was coming up. And I just thought, I can't even imagine what these things are, but it seems like it has to be some kind of UFO, but because they were every night and it was multiple things. So it's a super long story, but I'll tell you quickly, the orange fireball one was the last please. Night. The last night of my five nights, same thing. As soon as I left, I would see a big, huge orb going over the trees. And I was like, oh my God. And I just went on the same walk and I would just look, and there was just like things happening everywhere. But for that one, I was standing by this huge, probably at least 30 foot pine tree. And on top of the pine, this maybe sounds even more crazy, but on top of the pine tree, there was these two what looked like wrought iron metal bars, a taller one and a shorter one with a cross through it. So it just looked like two, you know, maybe, I don't know, two feet, like a 2 foot and a 1.5 foot metal bar with a cross through it. And it came right on top of the tree, right on top of my head, probably 10
feet
the top of my head. And it the way it moved seemed like it was on like a very long string, like it was being... The way it moved was so crazy, and it went right over the tree, right over my head, and there was no noise to it, but I heard a very slight whooshing noise, because it was so close to me, like it just like, it wasn't making noise, but the fact that it was moving so close to
me,
like some kind of whoosh thing.
What?
And it went into this neighborhood, so I was in the middle of the elementary school, property, so it was a huge, you know, playground and, you know, bought like a baseball field or whatever it is, soccer field. And so, and it went over this tree and it went directly into this neighborhood right on top of it, and I was watching it just thinking like, what could that be? And as I saw a big fireball came into the sky, so I saw it be like a pinpoint of light, bigger, and then it was just like in the distance, it was this big to me. So, but I couldn't tell where it was in the world, you know, if it was like
a million
miles away or right there. It was a huge glowing orange in my head. I had never heard anyone call it a fireball. I was calling it a fireball and had never heard that term before. but I was like, yeah. And it just stood, it just was there. And I thought,
just motionless. Yeah.
Motionless. And so I thought, maybe this thing is trying to tell me I need to go to over here. And now there's a fireball. So I walk across the whole field and I walk into kind of like a newly built neighborhood kind of thing, like new builds, like, you know, newly built houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a fireball. So not the one that I saw, though. The one that I saw, I don't know where it was. It wasn't moving. It was just static in the sky. But as I walked towards this neighborhood, there was these small fireballs that were like maybe this big. I don't know if that's like maybe 2.5 feet round, like maybe this big.
Right, okay.
2.5 feet. And I looked, and it was, and everyone, because it was a new build neighborhood, everyone had a fence, like a 6 foot high, you know.
Right.
Fence. Wooden fence, you can't really see through it, but I noticed that these fireballs were bouncing very slowly into the backyard of these houses once, and it would go about 3 or 4 or 5-ish feet from the ground. I couldn't really see, I could only see through the small slits in the fence, and then it would go up, and these yeah. were also two-story houses, and the fireballs would go very slowly and then all the way up to basically the roof level. And then it would move to the next house and it would bounce very slowly. I know. And again, in my head, I thought, what are they doing? Because that looks like they're looking in the windows, you know, like again,
it's, right. I wouldn't know.
But it looks like it's looking through the windows of everyone's sleep. Because this is again, this is maybe 3 or 4 in the morning now. I was out all night this one night. This is my last night before I actually went to Ireland. So
yeah,
I was out and I didn't get home till 6 in the morning. And I thought, wow, I didn't think it was out that late because I went out at 12 or 1 in the morning, but I was out for like hours and hours, but I was just watching these things. So it would go about 3 or 4-ish feet, you know, like not touch the ground, and then up to the top of the roof. And I was trying to get, but everyone's fences were, you know, of course, tied together. Like, so I was trying to run around and I couldn't get in between them because everyone's fence is, you know, it's just like fence after fence after, you can't go in between them. It's just like,
yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh my God. And I would look in this part and I would see the fireball going to the next one. And then I looked and I saw in between these two houses that there was another one over there doing the same thing.
Oh my God.
I ran around, but I couldn't get in between the houses. And I was running around and I noticed there was at least two, but maybe three different, because I couldn't keep track of them. And, you know, because some of the houses, and I didn't know which direction the balls were going, but I was like, I would just look and I'd see, oh my God, there's another one there. Oh no, maybe that's the one I just saw. But I would try running down the street and, you know, trying to not actually get arrested or something by going in someone's house.
right.
I was trying to be like, what are they doing? And it really seemed like the scanning thing when it said it was scanning.
Yeah, where they're just doing like a, you know.
That's the message that I kind of got, that they were scanning everyone in the houses. And I was like, no.
No, go on.
I had no negative feeling, not at all, like at any point, but it seemed like they wouldn't let me. Every time I turned to go to follow it, it would go the opposite direction. So it seemed like it knew that I was there trying to look at it, and it wouldn't let me get close enough, but it wasn't running away because I was looking. It was just not coming my direction. So every time I would go,
right, doing their own thing.
Yeah, but with awareness that someone was watching them, and I was just like,
right,
what is happening here? So yeah, that was my fireball
story. It sounds like one thing is, it sounds a lot like the kind of I think it was in Switzerland back in the medieval times, they had like the fireballs coming over the city, and kind of it almost looked like a battle was going on in the sky.
Absolutely, yeah.
Two things. Did they seem spherical or 2D? And also, wait, spherical?
Absolutely spherical, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Because the ones I've seen almost looked two-dimensional. It was very strange. You couldn't actually see any sort of 3D shape to them. And also, were they giving off any excess light? Was it glowing around them? And was there light pouring off onto the surroundings?
I actually, the white, bright one, absolutely, I could see.
Yeah, everything. That one.
But no, the fireballs. Actually, I've never thought of that. I've never heard if other people think that. But no, I don't. It was dark. Like it was 2 or 3 in the morning or whatever. So No, I don't remember it being, I don't remember there being.
Yeah, because like, one thing I noticed with the ones that I've seen, the ones that came down quite low, was there was absolutely, it weirded me out because there wasn't even a discernible bright light source. It was almost, the ones that I've seen, it was almost like, do you know the camera effect when you outfocus a camera lens and it's looking at traffic and then it just turns into little balls of light and it's different colors of balls of light? It's like a well-known camera effect used for like cinematography and stuff like that. And you can just see it. They just, lights just turn into circles basically. And it looked just like that. It looked like these orange circles that were just 2D and they came down and they had literally, there was no light coming off them. They didn't look like a conventional source of light. They were slightly transparent, like slightly pastel orange color, and they were roughly, if I had to make a guess, they were probably that big. They weren't that big, you know, they were maybe just a bit bigger than a basketball. And they came down from the sky. I was outside in my garden and they literally just they flew across from the left hand side, and I thought it was meteorites in my peripheral vision. I thought there was like some meteorites flying by. And then suddenly it just stopped and they started coming down and down and down. And they just ended up hovering above my house. And there was three of them. And they were just, as they were coming down, they were like playfully weaving in between each other and kind of bobbing and bouncing. And then they just stopped. Yeah. And once I was staring at them, they just stopped above the house and were just in a completely static, you know, positions. I was staring at them with my jaw basically on the floor at this point. And then suddenly they just started bobbing again, and they went over and over to my neighbor's like house, and I was in my garden, so I was like staring over here and looking at my neighbor's fence, and they were just hovering above there, and I was again staring at them for a little while, and then they just started bobbing and bobbed up until I couldn't see them anymore. And that was like the closest. I've seen them a few times, but that was the closest I've ever seen them, so I could actually get an idea of what they look like. And yeah, there was no external light. There was no kind of like discharge of light and no glow around it. They were slightly transparent, like slightly like ephemeral and like, you know, almost like ghostly, and no discernible 3D depth to them. They just looked like almost 2D. It was so hard to really contemplate.
And I've never heard anyone describe them like that, and I never thought about the light source coming off them. Yeah, so I wonder if it's a different, type or different...
A completely different type of light.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like it had no connection to the light we use that has to spill out and creates a glow on other objects. Like, it didn't give off light at all, but it was a color and it was light because I could see it. But, you know, it wasn't. It goes against what you would logically understand to be giving off light. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I've never seen like a physical metallic or like what looks like a craft. It's always been either white orbs in space that have come over and started flashing quite a few times and given me some bright power-ups so that I know they're not satellites. Right. And orange orbs, you know. But the first time I saw them, the weirdest one with the orange orbs is the first time I saw them, I was out, because all of these have taken place literally out there in my back garden. You know, I just go outside for a bit and stare up. And all of mine have taken place because I've actually gone out with the intention of making some form of contact. So all of these have been after I've learned about the idea of consciousness contact. And I'd probably had quite a few. I had a lot of experiences with white orbs coming over before these orange. It was only these four experiences that I'm having with them. Haven't seen them since, really want them to come back. But the first time I saw them was so weird, because it was a staticky cloud. This like staticky cloud was coming over the sky. It looked gray, like dark gray, but it's so hard to describe. It was like actually fizzy, like staticky, sparkly, and it was moving across the sky like this. And then it suddenly started coming across my direction. It literally just did a complete 90-degree turn. And instead of tracing across here, it started coming up this way and was going. It was very high up in the sky, but it was, you know, this weird fizzling cloud. It's very hard to describe, but it suddenly dissipated. The cloud just started. It just suddenly vanished. It just fizzled out into nothingness. And out of that cloud, there was literally 25, 30 orange orbs in a triangle formation. And they just flew right over the sky. And some of them were weaving in between each other. I could see some of them weaving, but this cloud literally just fizzled out, and out of it, this formation just was flying across the sky, and it just went right over. Yeah, and that was the first time I ever saw them. That was the first time.
So do you think that was the cloud like a made up? Because I got this impression from my thing that they're masking themselves. So not every, well, this is my impression from that white light that came when it was, you know, making the green blinking lights and the white blinking lights. I thought it was a plane because that's what the planes have. And then I started wondering, are they pretending to be a plane? And I've asked Steve Mayer about this too, if this is very common, because it really seemed like it was pretending to be a plane. But as soon as, and maybe it was waiting for any conscious connection, for anyone to say, hey.
Right.
And then as soon as they heard, they, you know, get the whatever, their spidey senses, know that someone wants contact, they come over. So I'm wondering your staticky cloud, if that was just like they faked a cloud so no one could see them, but as soon as you're having the intention, then they'll show you what's
honestly real. Yeah, I mean, it did feel like, because it literally was like cloud gets to my garden, reveals itself, and then goes away, you know. So it was very strange how it just did it the moment it was over my garden and a moment above my head. And I've had things that have been very small white orbs tracing across the horizon, and then they come above my house and then they start glowing and they'll give me a couple of flashes and then they'll stop. And by the time they've gone over my horizon again, they've vanished. So it's strange, because it does seem like sometimes, they've signaled to you, but don't want to, you know, keep doing it the entire way and just go back to their business after they've come over your garden. It's I don't know. It's,
absolutely.
There's definitely some form of intention there. Like, absolutely.
And I wonder too that I had like the one of the nights of those five nights actually as well. I would see these like going quite quickly though, but you know, this big, more than a basketball, was a medicine ball or something, but like a little bit bigger going. And one of the times, so the night after actually that I had that I said, come here to the white one, the night after, I just thought, I didn't sleep that night. I was so heartbroken.
It
just, like, was the feeling, right? Heartbroken that they left. And that's all I kept thinking is like, come back and get me. Like, please take me away. Come back and get me. And I was heartbroken about trying to run or, you know, giving them the idea that I was running away or whatever. So the next night I was just like ready to go. And I went early, went at 11 instead of 12 or 1, because I was like, I need to see if they're still there. And I went, and as soon as I left again, I saw some kind of orb, you know, going out, a quite big one. But that day, as soon as I got to the, you know, it's like a walkway in between houses with a couple man-made ponds, like in this, you know, where the elementary school and everything is. It's like a big walkway,
right.
Or dogs or whatever. And I have to walk a couple blocks from my house to get through all the houses until you're in the big field where the ponds and the walkway are. And the second I rounded the last house, so where I could see the actual pond, that orb, or I don't know if it was that one, but I mean, the ones that were just coming over the house, I never saw them before. Once I got to the walkway, I just saw them as I was walking to the walkway. But this one night, the night after the big one, there was an orb, a gigantic red, gigantic, like 6 feet at least across, sitting on top of the pond. Maybe 25-ish, I don't know, but like, you know, like not far, but say 25 feet above the middle of this pond. And it was
huge.
And when I saw it, and it was like how you were just saying, and I can't remember all the words, but I remember when I was trying to remember what I was seeing, I was trying to remember the words I was using, and it was all S words. I remember it was like sparkling, swirling. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
It was like for sure 3D, but like you know, I don't even know, twisting and turning with some sparkles.
Almost like maybe like a toroidal.
Yes, absolutely. Like
And
like Jupiter, I just think of Jupiter with the storm and just like things rotating and moving, but it was sparkling. It was like sparkling and swirling and plasma-y and crazy, but it sat there and I ran. The second I saw it, I ran towards it. Because I was like,
Okay, I was about to say,
no, because this was the day after when I had all night to think about my poor decision. I ran towards it. And the funny thing is, as I was running down the grass hill towards like where the pond was, because it was sitting on top of the pond, when I saw it, it was sitting there. But as soon as I started running, it was exactly matching my running with going away.
In going back.
Exactly. And it felt like there was a pole connected from me to it, because then I stopped. When I started noticing it was leaving, I stopped and it stopped. And I went another foot closer, and it felt like it went, it felt like there was an exact amount of measurement between me and it, and I couldn't get closer. So I stopped. Wow. And if I went forward, and I went back once, hoping it would come closer, but it didn't. But if I went forward, it still would have been closer, right? Because it would have just matched.
I was
just trying to pull it closer, because I was like, come get me. And, but it was just how you were saying, like the sparkling, swirling thing.
Yeah.
3D thing, and definitely with some kind of intention, because it was sitting there, and again, there was no one around, but it for sure knew that I was there, because as I approached it, it went back. And I sat there for maybe 15 minutes, and it was there the whole entire time until...
Oh my gosh.
It just went away.
And you didn't have a camera or nothing?
I had that crazy flip phone, you know, in 2012, I just had a flip phone. Yeah. And actually that night, when I texted one of my friends, they actually said, you should take a picture. And I thought, no one's going to believe it. And I'm never going to share it with anyone. Like, this is not for other people to see. I just thought I would never bring a camera in the potential that they would know I had a camera and not do something. So I just thought,
this
is like, you know, you take a picture in the dark, nothing happens. You can't even.
Yeah. I
absolutely, the last two nights, I think it was, you know, had thought about, should I just film it? And I thought, no, because if I bring a camera and nothing happens, I'm going to even be more heartbroken about it. So I'll just go, I just want the memory, right? I don't need a picture to try.
Right,
I was never going to tell anyone except for my three people or whatever. So I didn't. But yeah, how you were saying about the swirling, sparkling kind of whatever it is, and the intention. There was some intention, so they knew that I was there, but didn't want to come closer. But I don't know, but wanted me to see that, you know, another weird thing in the five nights.
So yeah.
Orbs, these helicopter things with lights beaming down, the thing that came towards me, the fireballs, and that weird metal thing. So, and then I left.
You have had a plethora of experiences, haven't you?
But what would the reason for that be? Like, I was, you know, and after that day, I was absolutely insanely obsessed up until today with everything. And that's why when I saw Grant in 2015, that was just a couple of years after this experience.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely obsessed now and trying to figure out why I would have been able to see so many different things in this 5-day period.
Maybe you had a succession of radical experiences, because that's what was required for you personally to click into place and to do what you're supposed to be doing here right now. Who knows, you know, maybe that was like that level of exhibition was required for you to consciously, cognitively click into some form of a exploration of this, you know?
And also because I'm so skeptical and
science-based,
that maybe it needed to be that much because of the whole time I just kept thinking it has to be like a drone. There has to be a kid.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, you were trying your hardest to dismiss it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I needed to beat it into my head. I did have like a reading kind of with a guy who channeled, and I asked him about who was in the ship and why did, 'cause I didn't know about why the time slowed down. I'd never heard that at the time. But that was the thing that really got me, is the time slowing down and the quietness, and then, you know, and everything, then running and then being so like heartbroken about it. So I asked him, and he actually said that it was your future. I was thinking he was going to say it's the Palladians or the Syrians. Who was it? Meaning, you know, what race was it? But he said that it was you. That was you. And I said, and I was like explaining the story to him, saying like, it's so crazy because it was this 5 nights before I went on this life-changing, you know, trip by myself. And so I thought it was a state of mind that I was in that allowed me for some reason to see that stressed or out of my mind. And, you know, what am I doing with my life and all this stuff? But no, he actually said something that I do believe now. But he said, you think that you randomly went out and they were randomly there and you don't know why you called them towards you. But he said, no, this was planned before you came into this world. That was your future self coming to wake you up and to put you on this path. And so that day was destined. You were supposed to see
it. Yeah, like one of the many checkpoints that are kind of put into your life to push you on that. Yeah, I hear you. Like, it seems very similar with me, because it's the way in which I came into this subject is like very... It's really weird, because it's more of a spiritual thing than anything else for me, which is like a very strange thing, because I didn't have any sort of like kind of spiritual leanings before my experiences, which led to me making Project Unity and everything like that. So it's really strange, like, for me personally, how the phenomena seems to be playing a role with consciousness and getting you to understand like a higher level of being and a higher level of awareness. Because, you know, for me, at least personally, I wouldn't have been able to have the experiences I've had unless I had also started to try and work on myself, you know, mind, body, soul coherence kind of thing.
Right.
And so it seems like the whole thing is congruent with an awakening of some form, you know, and it wouldn't have existed without me having to wake up and realize certain things. And I think the thing that gets me the most is like, I'd got to a point when I was around 19, and I didn't really believe in any sort of God or anything like that. I wasn't like an atheist, but I didn't think about these things. I wasn't really entertaining big thoughts about the universe or anything like that. And I was just like in a pretty bad place at one point. I was quite depressed and quite down, and, you know, I just needed some answers to things, and, you know, I wanted to know more about life, but I was just feeling quite depressed for multitude of reasons. I was in uni, I was in university, it was very stressful, and, you know, there was all sorts going on. But I actually ended up reading these books, right? And like, for me at the time, like, my dad gave me these books, and at the time I was very much like, you know, books, like, it's some self-help book, like, I don't need this, this isn't gonna kick me into doing anything, blah blah blah. The books, and like, the books are, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, it's a series of books called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah.
So have you read them?
I've read one of them, yeah.
Right. So I read them, and they seem to have just obviously like landed in my life at the right time, because the first one really clicked with me, and then I read the second and the third, and I read them again and again, and it all just opened me up to thinking more about God as a universal consciousness, as an expressional energy, instead of there being some guy with a beard and a cloud going, oh, you know, these are my commandments, because that never made sense to me. So I was always just very kind of like pessimistic about those ideas, because it just didn't really vibrate with me. But this made sense. This kind of clicked me into something, and it put me on a path to start looking at just kind of more esoteric things, meditation, and, you know, just higher frequencies of consciousness, different speakers that talk about those types of things. And it put me into a place where I was like, right, okay, I honestly do believe that this physical universe is just an energy that's being expressed for all the physical beings, and all these different physical beings are ultimately this conscious energy. I get that. That's fantastic. I don't know what to do about it with my life. I went into another depression. Basically, because I was like, right, well, I feel like I've got these things in my head, and I just don't know what to do with it, though. What am I supposed to do with my life? Like, how am I supposed to help myself and help others with this information? And I think I was sitting on this bed, and I just had like my version of a prayer. Like, I was just talking out loud to the universe, and, you know, just like, I need something that is connected to these ideas and these ideologies that I've picked up, that I can actually do in the physical world, that I can interact with. Like, I need to take these ideas and make things with it, and I don't know what to do with that. And then literally, I think 4 or 5 days later, my best friend showed me the documentary Unacknowledged by Stephen Greer, which kind of clicked me. And before this, no UFOs. Like, I believed in it, but I wasn't a researcher. So I watched that, and it was, you know, a really good compilation of very credible speakers and military guys and all of that. And I was like, okay, well, that seems legit. There seems to be some form of a cover-up with UFOs. And then it got into the CE5 talking at the end of it about how, like, consciousness and non-locality and universal consciousness can be used to basically reach out and make these communications. And if I hadn't have learned the things I had learned before, I would have been like, that's a load of bullshit. but I had to learn the things that I had learned before about the fact that we are this energy spectrum that's experiencing life in all these different ways. And so it kind of clicked. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to look into that. I'm going to see what, you know. So I started researching C5, and I found out about E-SETI and, you know, C-SETI and all the other different groups that are all over the world. And I saw like all of this night vision footage with all these people shouting and pointing lasers at the sky, and you see these things glowing. And I was like, that looks real. This doesn't look fake. This doesn't look like fake footage. And so, like, I guess in some ways there's like a slight amount of faith that was required to go out and make a C5 concept, but I'd seen enough what really did feel like evidence for me to in my mind be like, okay, like, based on what I knew beforehand, based on what I've learned through the books and through all the things that I'd experienced, this seems real. So I went out, and the first night I had contact, and, you know, these things came over and lit up the sky, and like, that's it. My life changed forever from that point onwards. And you know, it was like my prayer had literally been answered, because it was like, here are the physical tools. You can make contact, you can communicate, you can actually see these things happen, you can film them, you can tell the world about it, you know. And it also seems to lead through the fact that with contact, you have to meditate, you have to get into better ideas of mind and better states of being. You have to resonate with love and peace more. It's like, you can't help but start going down the route of being a better individual, a better human being, if you start doing this type of contact. So it just, for me, was like, here we go. Like, this is what I do now.
Yeah, it's perfect time. You think maybe perfect timing, but at the same time, I think I've had many similar experiences where I, maybe mine wasn't the prayer like that. Mine was more of a yelling screaming
I've done to that the universe. As well.
And it's so crazy what happens many, many times for me, like when I get to the point of where it's like, and maybe that's how they say the law of attraction, you have to put the emotionality kind of into
it.
Like, you don't put the emotions into it, but mine is never like, mine's always like yelling. So I'm like, you guys, like, if I'm gonna keep doing this, if you don't give me something, I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. It's some kind of yelling, but it's crazy. Yeah. I've had the same thing where sometimes within hours of that screaming at the universe kind of thing, I get exactly what I asked for. And so and I channel now. I started channeling around the time when I met Grant also in 2015. And a lot of the messages I get are exactly that. They always say, we're literally right beside all of you. And so all you need to do is ask for help kind of thing. And I think, but I've asked for help a million times. So I wonder if it's that once you're like over it and you're like, that's it, I quit.
At that point, you've lost all sense of doubt about it. You're just going pure emotion. You're just going pure emotion. And I think that is the law of attraction. Because, I mean, to be fair, one of the biggest shifts in my life did take place from a drunken rant at the universe walking home at night once. When I was just shouting about my life. So, yeah, no, it's true. Like, you know, it's when you've hit a peak level of emotion, whether that be, you know, through anger because you're just demanding a change, or if it's through a positive flow. I mean, sometimes it's easier to be pissed off.
Maybe more focused. Maybe your thought is more focused when you've had it, or you're like over it or whatever, or you really, really want it, or like whatever the emotionality connection is, must be something more focused. Cause I do get those messages too, is that, and also with groups, they also always say, like, if you have multiple people thinking the same thought at the exact same time, then I mean,
like group coherence.
Absolutely. An exponential. It's not two people, isn't just two people. It's like 10 people, and 10 people is like 100 people or whatever. It's focused thought on multiple individuals at the same time is very, very powerful. And that's, you know, I guess part of the message is just that you guys need to start doing this, like get together and start having focus.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And today, like with the virus and all this stuff, I think that these big, I don't know if you, I'm sure you must participate in some of these meditations that they're trying to get everyone to do during this time. And And I have like the Schumann Residence app or whatever on my phone, and I check it all the time. And a lot of these big mass meditations that they've had over the last couple of weeks or whatever that I've done, I go on the next day to try and see if there was any effect. And it's unbelievable the huge effect that it has when you can tell.
Yeah.
Who knows how many people are actually participating in these big meditations, but the one that was the big one that I don't even know when it was now, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago or whatever. It was a Saturday night. And the Schumann Residence the next morning at that exact time when everyone was supposed to be doing it, like the time that they said, was absolutely unbelievable. So it's you know, that kind of seems to be some kind of proof that it's, we're doing something.
Oh yeah, it's all connected. I mean, you know, like we're part of this planet. As much as we'd like to separate ourselves from the earth that we're standing on, we are the earth, the physical sentient bodies of it. So we need, you know, I think we've lost that, haven't, you know, we've lost that idea of being like wardens of the planet, you know. And I hope that we can actually come to a place where we actually get back to that ideology. And I've been saying to a lot of people, you know, things like coronavirus, it is difficult because obviously people are dying, and there's no way to not dress that. You can't dress that up in a nice, happy way. There's no way to do that. But, you know, I say this to lots of people, is if you can recognize that in your own life, if you can have some introspection and some self-reflection, and you look back on your own life and you look at like kind of the trials and the tribulations and the moments that were negative, and how they've actually led to, you know, you being who you are now, and, you know, have led to positive events. It's it's reflective of what's happening maybe right now to the planet, you know, and when you need to be woken up in your own life and when you need things to happen in your own life, there are moments, events, scenarios, people that come in and kind of push you in a certain way, whether you're conscious or unconscious of that. You know, a situation happens to you, maybe it's a bad one, you don't like it, but out of it, something happens that is a positive outcome. And so, you know, with this scenario, I kind of see it as a planetary one. So instead of it just being a single individual's own life becoming quite turbulent so that they can then change, the whole planet has become extremely turbulent. And, you know, everyone's feeling this. It has literally affected every single mind on this planet, pretty much, unless you're in the middle of the jungle somewhere where you just have no idea what's going on. You know? I wish I was there with you. But, you know, it just seems reflective of the fact that we are coming up to an extremely intense time technologically, you know, with the ideologies, the political systems, the financial, everything that we have right now is kind of building up to a boiling point. And it just seems like this could be a major catalyst to push forward a new type of being afterwards, especially depending on how long we have to be in this circumstance of being locked down and being separated from each other. And it could really change the social psyche. And I think that in the long run, it could be for the betterment of humanity, but obviously it's a difficult one to, you know, just outright say is a positive thing, because it is a pandemic that's happening. But you have to try and see sometimes the silver lining, or the, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And I just try and see this as a planetary perspective of what would happen to one person, you know, to kick them into the place they need to be. And so maybe something like this is necessary, you know, evil, so to speak. But I don't know. I'd like to think it is. Otherwise, it's all for nothing, really.
Absolutely, and I think I think the exact same way as you. And a lot of other messages that I've been getting over the years is about like the shift, right? And you know, the Boris Cannon and all these people talk about, you know, the 3D to 5D or 3D to 4D or whatever it is shifting. Right. It sounds. And I'm a big fan of Dolores Cannon. I do her regression therapy, and have read all her books and everything. But it was a tiny little bit new agey for me, like the shift and stuff. And I started getting tons of messages about it. And every time I get the message, you know, it's maybe the same skeptical kind of thing. But I was just thinking, you know, I can't imagine how this is going to really play out in the 3D world. Like, you know. Because the way that different people describe this thing could be, you know, or the awakening or whatever you want to call it, you know, how exactly is it going to happen? And I had many, many messages the last couple of years about it. And they don't say specifically how we're going to feel it. They just say that it's happening, right? And that it's, you know, it's waking people up and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I really think just before April of this year, so maybe it was in February or March, whatever, I was getting many messages saying about April being a manifestation month. And I I assumed that that was a message for me, not for everybody. And and I kept seeing, I got the, you know, impression or whatever. And then I think is maybe this is exactly what you're talking about is with, you know, you can't make a, you can't, while we're all in this lockdown and there's so many horrible things happening, and not everyone is seeing it the same way. Of course, the majority of people are seeing this as a very fear-based, panic-ridden, horrible time. I think of it as the opposite. And I think with the the message of manifestation for the month of April, and this was before April started, I never thought it was going to get this bad. I was just like, there's no way they're going to lock us in our houses. There's no way we're going to be able to travel. You can't even imagine. And but I think what the messages came to be was that everyone is basically, now that no one can go to, most people can't go to work and are locked in their houses. Even people that are, you know, that don't believe in any of this kind of stuff, don't follow this stuff, you know, whatever. I think that by people basically being forcibly taken out of their own rat race, they're not going to work. Yeah. They're not thinking about what they have to buy, what bills they have to pay, you know, just like the general anxiety of what people face just by having to work full time. Everyone and keep up with other people. So how are you going to spend the money? Then how are you going to pay off the money? Then how are, you know, you hate your boss, you hate your job, you hate this, but you have to get up in the morning, you come home and you don't have enough time to whatever, you have to pay your bills. And it's just like a rat race basically, where no one really has enough time to themselves, with their family, to think about their future, to reinvent themselves, to restructure their own reality.
Exactly.
But I think that this is for me, it's seeming like the manifestation of this month is for even people that have no idea that they're doing it. I think the fact that everyone is locked in their houses, whether they follow any of this or not, they're not forced. They have the opportunity now, by not working, maybe losing their job, for people to start just themselves going like, oh, you know, this isn't that bad. I actually have more time to do things that I want. Even if I don't get my job back, maybe I don't need a full-time job anymore. Maybe we don't need to spend as much money as we do. Maybe we don't need to buy as much stuff. Maybe if only one of us goes back to work, then you can stay home with the kids and I'll go back to work and we can live on half the money. Maybe we should try working at home from now on so we can, because look at what the everyone not driving, look at how it's cleaning up the environment. I think it's forcing people to restructure their own reality.
Yeah, it's taking away the distractions that are in your life all the time that stop you from just going, right, let's evaluate what's going on and what are my priorities? Am I happy? Do I want to do things differently? And like, usually you don't have the luxury, if you're a 9-to-5 or someone who's got an extremely extensive work regime, like you don't have the luxury of that deep level of self-reflection of like, what should I, you know, because you're just like, oh, I've got bills, like you were saying. So this has given people that pause, like the world has been put on pause momentarily. And do we want to see the same world when we come out of that pause? You know, I think that's the question. Do we want to carry on as normal, or are we going to demand some form of reassessment?
And I think people that are like, you know, more awake or whatever you want to say, you know that this is a time, you have more time to meditate, join in these group meditations, all this kind of stuff. So maybe they're, you know, these people, us, are doing more of that kind of planned and intended, you know, manifestation and planned or reorganization of how you want your future to be and how we can change the world in general. Maybe other people don't see it like that, but the fact that most people, I'm sure, are reassessing just because they have the time and realizing that they can go without less, they should maybe be more neighborly, say hi to more people, you know, the kids should be playing outside, like all these kind of things. I think even in a couple months from now, I'm sure that this is going to change so many people that I think this is kind of like the shift. I think this is literally the forced lockdown, I think, is the shift, because it's changing globally, perspective of the whole entire planet, of everybody. Not everyone is going to be trying to do things in a little bit better way, but I think really most of the people are, right? I mean, I'm sure that there's lots of anxiety and depression, and of course there's like tons of horrible things that people can't get out of that. But I think that for a lot of people, this can't go in a negative way. I think a lot of people are just thinking like, seeing what they can do with less, and seeing how, yeah. And a lot of people on Facebook are maybe waking up to what's really happening out there and the governments and all this kind of stuff, and being more active,
yeah, for sure.
Saying like, we're not going to stand for this. I didn't know about this. Now everyone has time to be looking up any conspiracy theory that they want, yeah, and seeing, yeah, like, oh my God, there's some backing to this. I never believed this before, but there's so much time now for everyone, whether you're actually reading more and meditating more, it doesn't matter. I think just your people are waking up just based on having more time and not having to focus so much on their daily routines, kind of. So I think that looking back at this in a year or two or three, this definitely, I feel like, is the shift, and the manifestation of this month is literally, it's a global manifestation. Everyone right now, having the time, but also everyone doing it at the same time. So even if it's not like at 11 o'clock, do this meditation, it's like this month, everyone, no matter
add the energy to this month.
Absolutely. And someone else, probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions of people, at any time that you choose to do a short meditation, other people are doing it. So
these huge
blasts of energy and reconnecting and being able to, yeah, like replan and restructure how you want your future to be and how we want our reality to be, even unconsciously. I think it's happening all the time. And I think this is, as bad as it seems, I think this is it. This is the awakening. This is the shift. This is
That's it. You know, it's a global change needs a global catalyst, you know, and it's just like for you personally, you might need something to kick you awake in your own reality. A whole planet will need a bigger reaction. You know, that's just obvious, really. So this is such a global thing. You can see it. And, you know, we've been in the UK, we've been on lockdown now for just coming up to a month already. So I've been seeing things change around my local area, and, you know, seeing how people react. And, you know, what's nice to see is, you know, everywhere I walk, there's little rainbows that kids have painted and put up in their windows, you know, saying, you know, save the NHS and all of that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of positivity. And there's actually, you know, there's, even though it was, the government asked us to do this, basically, but at the same time, I do think it's nice. And I think it's quite a cool thing is, I didn't realize that this was a thing until the other week, when suddenly there was just an eruption of applause all around my town. And I could just hear clapping everywhere. And I was like, what's going on? And shouted down to my neighbor. And I was like, yeah, we're all applauding for the NHS and clapping for the NHS.
Yeah.
And it just, for me personally, as a 25-year-old, right, I was just kind of like, this almost feels like the first, it almost feels like something that you would have seen in like World War II, with like, you know, like Britain kind of like getting together and like that whole thing of sticking together. And it just seemed like a moment that was really weird to be a part of, to see everyone clapping and to hear it all over the place. It was just like, people are doing something that they weren't doing before. You know, they weren't doing this before. They weren't consciously giving out appreciation and positivity because they feel like it's important. And so like, it's a stimulus, and it's a stimulus to do good within the bad, like within this negative environment. That's when positivity has to come up and start being the most important thing. And so it's pushing people to realize, oh no, you know, we should be kind, we should be good, we should be friendly to people, we should be nice. And so, yeah, it could genuinely be that thing that pushes people, or at least one of the things to come into the future. You know, there may be even more events, and that, you know, we have to deal with, and maybe not all of them will be like this, but I don't know, it does seem like this particular event is so all-encompassing that you can't escape the fact that it's going to have effects that go on after it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just whether what do we want to see out of it,
and which side do you want to buy into? Because I see from my own family and friends that there is a lot of people that buy into the opposite, the panic and the fear and the, oh my God,
exactly.
They tell me the world's falling apart. Vaccinated. Yeah. And so I think it's still two sides, but even the people that are buying into the fear, they still have to be doing some part of them is still like thinking, like I was saying before, or, you know, a million other things, like maybe I can live with less. I didn't, you know, I'm not getting paid this month, but I'm still okay. Maybe I need to, you know, be supporting myself in a different way. Maybe I can, you know, team up with a friend and we can do something else to make side money. You know, it's just, even if the people that are buying into the fear, I think that they're still going to be part of their life where they're rethinking about how they can use this time to better themselves in the future, better their situations, or their environments or whatever, how to do things better, even for the people that are really buying into the fear. But I see, and maybe it's because I have so many friends in this UFO community or whatever, that 90% of the people that I actually am in contact with are all seeing this as a good thing. But I do, of course, see that the people that are just like, I'm never leaving my house again. And, I don't care about forced vaccines or I don't care about this, and I'll do whatever the government says because I just don't want to die and all this stuff. And it's like, oh my God. But I think those people too, they're still coming to better conclusions, and are going to make themselves a better person, or their neighborhood better. Or like you said, everyone, there's still something good coming, even from the people that can't get out of that part. And maybe they will eventually, maybe they're not supposed to.
Exactly. I mean, and it is, it is scary, and not everyone does sit down and kind of think about the bigger kind of macro impact of, oh, well, what could this mean for the future? A lot of people are very much in the here and now and just kind of respond to what's happening in this moment. And it's scary, there's no denying it. And even though I can see the benefits of it, I'm keeping my distance, I'm washing my hands, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that I don't get ill. So I'm recognizing that it's still something that is harming people. But at the same time, it's one of those, if you want to see a planetary change, then there's going to have to be a planetary catalyst, and this is definitely what seems to be a planetary catalyst. So yes. I have to admit, and this is something that maybe might be a bit controversial, I don't know how much you've seen of Bill Gates on TV, but I get a bit freaked out by just how like low-key happy he seems that this is happening.
I hate to think of, you have to think of everything, I think, being in not following the mainstream media. So following any alternative media, you have to really follow where the stories are going. And so I hate to even say that I do spend hours and hours and hours and hours per day while I'm working, listening to all the alternative things and the, doctors that are talking and saying, about germ theory and all this kind of stuff. So, you really have to educate yourself on all of what's happening, obviously, not just the mainstream media, but everything else that could be happening. And it could get pretty depressing, not because of the fear of thinking you're going to get sick, but also from the fear of what could potentially happen if there's martial law, they start taking rights, it's mandatory vaccines, Bill Gates wants to track us, all these labs that are injecting Ebola and HIV and stuff into their vaccines
exactly.
by accident, and sending them to third world countries. It's like, oh my God.
That's the thing, is like, the way that things seem to work out with my life is like, the changes happen, but it's never the way I thought it was gonna be. I've asked for something to happen, and it will usually, there will be the change that I've wanted, but it will never be in the way that I expected it to be. And so you could even see this is like, right now we're thinking, well, maybe coronavirus on its own will be the catalyst. But then maybe martial law needs to come in, and then we need to rally up against that. There's going to be even more down the line. Maybe there really are some quite intense control mechanisms that are starting to click into place from, the actual apparatus that's in control of the planet. And they're using coronavirus as a way of securing, a more docile population. So maybe we have to rally up against that. Who knows? I mean, it's all speculation, but I'm just saying it never in my own life seems to arrive in the way I think. So the moment I think that it might be because of the coronavirus, I have to think, right, it's going to throw me a curveball here. It's going to be after this now. But it, to segue off of the coronavirus in a really bad way, because it's like no way to segue off of it. I just wanted to know what your speculation is with the experiences you've had in regards to what they might be. Do you think all of it is like your medium guy said to you, interfaces with your own self, or do you think that any of it is ET, or is it metaphysical, like angels, or where do you sit?
I'd say, coming from a scientific background, I have a science degree, and I'm a very skeptical, left brain person. But also started channeling 5 years ago and never believed and still.
Hey, it's just science. It's just science misunderstood. That's all it is.
Yes, absolutely. Science. Absolutely. And that's the catch. And is where exactly, I think that it's, I used to definitely think it was all, you know, ET and, I'm not really even sure where I sit. I was skeptical of channeling, and I get so many crazy messages that I end up being able to Google and to look up to validate that this couldn't have come from my own mind, because I've never even heard
right,
this.
Right.
I didn't know what these words are, and I look it up. So I definitely believe that it's coming from somewhere else, that it's not us. And I definitely believe in it, but that's the big thing is, and I recently just published a book, and there's an entire chapter that's literally devoted to what is the phenomena, what exactly is behind the phenomena, because right. as a channeler and as a skeptic, when they come in and also having looked at so many paranormal cases and hauntings and this kind of stuff, it's like. And, you know, Grant is very interested in seances and mediumship and all that kind of stuff now. But it's from looking back at history, all the way back for, John Dee in the 50s or whatever, and Aleister Crowley and stuff in the 1800s, people have been trying to connect with the other side to try and figure out what exactly it is, what is behind the phenomena, for so long. And there's so many things that it can be, because often people are perceiving these things to be angels if they're coming from a religious point of view.
Yeah.
Or if they're from a, new agey thing, they're seeing it as ascended masters. If they're a UFO person, they're seeing it as aliens. So it's like, what is it? And then of course, throughout the hundreds and hundreds of years, there's been the trickster and the elementals from, the John Dee days and stuff, and them being tricked as well. John Dee thought he was talking to, I always forget if it was Michael, Archangel Michael or Gabriel, but he was so sure he was talking to this, to his angel, one of the archangels, and then I don't know if you know the story, but then it deceived him and Edward Kelly was his scryer, right, the person that was actually trying to get the communication, and John Dee was trying to figure out what it was, and John Dee was so obsessed with trying to get a hold of the angels, and Edward Kelly was the one who was contacting them, getting the information from scrying and giving him the information. And eventually one time the bean, because it wasn't an angel at this time, said that they wanted the two of them to wife swap. So, and they did, much to the, much to the unhappiness of John Dee's wife. She hated John Kelly or Edward Kelly, and they did it, because they thought it was coming from a higher source. And after they did it, the being came and said that it wasn't Archangel Gabriel. Something else. And so they thought that they were tricked. And of course, Aleister Crowley went into the whole thing where he was trying to also, he thought he was a reincarnation of Edward Kelly, and he was trying to go to connect with, he just wanted to talk to the angels too. And his theory was that you had to bind all the lower elementals or the demons or whatever you want to call it to make sure you had control over them before you could then go up and be able to talk to your angel. But he constantly told people not to do what he was doing, because it's so dangerous, because you don't know what you're dealing with. And unless you know how to deal with these lower energetic, lower elementals, whatever you want to call them, that they could be tricksters and they lie to you all the time. And so he was saying, be careful, because you don't know if it's lying or telling the truth. And there's many other channelers that I've heard of over the years that are lied to for years and years and years and years. And they're told that the being they're talking to is something, and then it says that it was never that, it's something else. So it's very,
I was just going to say, it's like people always do think of higher frequencies of thought and dimensions and, going up and then being beings that interact. But unless you think that we're at the absolute bottom of something, then there's probably lower frequencies of it as well. That's probably what people would equate to demons and poltergeists and things like that. I've never had experiences of anything like that. And I've always been a little bit skeptical of things that would be considered inherently evil. But I don't, I wouldn't pretend to know. I haven't had that kind of experience. And I've always thought in my own self that, because I do believe in the law of attraction, that if you are genuinely not tricking yourself, if you're actually resonating at that level of love and
you don't feel afraid, then you're not going to have something come in that wants to, you know, yeah, manipulate you in that level. But, you know, we're little humans on a little planet, and I can only go so far and not make bold statements because we don't know, you know?
Yeah. And definitely I wonder about that very specifically too, because when I've done channeling, I've never had a negative in any way, shape or form, not yeah, even close to a negative experience. But I also do a lot of different healing modalities. And when I've done, so general healing, if you're doing Reiki or dowsing, that kind of stuff, I don't get anything bad. But there's one specific thing that I do. And one of the things that it requires is if there's an entity attachment, if you think that there's an entity attachment, you have to, obviously you're trying to, you know, do this certain thing to take the entity off of the person. And the crazy thing is, the handful of times I've had to do that, I had a horrible experience, and I felt that as soon as I started doing it, something was in the room, my room, like this room, actually this actual room, strangling me, pressing more and more and more on my neck. And I was sick for weeks after this one time when I was doing it. And, there was another time when I was doing the same kind of thing, trying to pull something off of someone. And I felt like there was I could feel a block of ice sitting on my lap. I was sitting like you were cross-legged with my laptop in front of me, trying to do this. And I felt like there was and I could feel exactly how heavy it was and how big it was. And it was a square block of ice sitting on my, so that not scary because it didn't do anything, but it's just like, as I
unsettling.
Was something. Yeah. And then I was sick after that as well. And, but the one that was strangling me, and sometimes when I do those, I don't even do them anymore because I don't know even what that means and what that could be bringing in. But even a couple times after that, horrible dreams of things coming and trying to like attack and kill me, black balls of, I don't know, swirling like shadow things coming to try and get me after I've done some of this kind of healing work. But it's not the healing work, it's the pulling entities. It's like this specific thing. So it makes me think that, maybe when you're channeling and you have good intention, or like C5s, you have positive, uplifting, you know, emotional, higher vibrational intentions, that's what you're attracting. But if you're going to the place where you need to interact with the things that maybe aren't so high vibrational, and you're in that place trying to deal with them, then... And I believe it more because I never thought that before. I thought if I was doing a healing, I was coming from a good vibration.
You'd be okay.
You'd be protected. And so because it that's not how it worked, but that was my intention. That was my belief, but that's not what happened. Does make me question like, how exactly do you, you know, so I just don't do it anymore. And I've had nothing else bad happen to me since I stopped doing it. But when I did it, and those exact, every single specific time that I was doing that very specific thing, I had something negative.
Definitely some level of like transference or something, like, you know.
Yeah.
Did they say, like, did you have any sort of correlation with what your clients said in regards to how they feel they got it or anything like that? Have they been to places doing anything in particular?
Yep. A couple of them, they had many people tell them that they had an attachment and that they needed someone skilled to get it off them, but they didn't tell me that. I don't know if I certainly probably would not have considered myself qualified to do that specific thing, although I was trained. Right. In doing it. But I mean, how do you get trained in doing something like that? I don't think that someone who's trying to teach a dowsing class specifically knows how to train you for dealing with the repercussions of something like that. So I wasn't trained in dealing with repercussions, but I was supposedly trained of how to take them off. But yeah, that's the thing is, two of them, were actually told by many, many people that they had something attached to them,
something
which I didn't
on them.
Know.
Yeah.
And another one told me that he felt it, like one person actually knew and was saying that there's something that's, you know, coming out of my, you know, midsection, this black thing that's coming out of my midsection.
God.
But again, I just thought, well, I'm protected. I have a protection, you know, ceremony that I do beforehand.
Yeah.
I thought it was all good. But after maybe five or six times of trying to do this, I thought, oh my God, I don't know how to deal. You know, and you read tons of accounts of people that have to go to, even healers that have to go to shamans and are close to death. Before they actually get the proper help that they need. But I, you know, you don't know exactly what you're dealing with if you dip into that kind of realm or world or whatever. So I choose.
No, for sure.
Keep the vibrations high.
Yeah. You're a braver woman than me in terms of going and trying to suck out the evil from other people. But well, that's it. It's a spectrum, and like it's why a lot of people who've actually understood these subjects would categorize it as something like high strangeness. You know, it's a spectrum. You can't pinpoint down this is what this is. This is what this is. Because, you know, even to the point where you think you've got a physical craft or something when you're talking about UFO sightings, and then it becomes something else, you know, and it vanishes or turns into light bulbs that separate into different pieces. And so, you know, it's like, is it one thing I've always thought was like, even though it's a spectrum, is it all just one thing being a spectrum? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, is it just one form that's just making multiple forms for different reasons? And, you know, I've always thought as well that perhaps the whole UFO scenario and the fact that it really exploded in the 1950s, it's like a carrot on a stick almost, in terms of like, you know, you see these things and it pushes humanity forward a little bit further. And, you know, every time that we get something up in the air, there's something else that's even better that's like flying around and making itself known. And I don't know, it's almost like, it might be alien, or it might even just be our own consciousness pushing us forward through interactions that have to happen, or time travel. Maybe it's our own human, you know, maybe it's humans from a time when we figured it out and now there's a paradox.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a loop. Who knows? You know, but that's
exactly.
It. We should be questioning these things. It shouldn't be like my whole thing is, especially because of, you know, since 2017, since Tom DeLonge, TTSA, gun camera footage, all of that, you know, it's and I knew this beforehand anyway, and a lot of people did, but we should be at that point now as a world. It's no longer a discussion of whether or not they're here and what they, you know, whether or not they're real. It is real, but we don't know what it is fully yet. And you know, maybe there are elements of our own governments that do know, or at least know to a way further, like, you know, degree than we do. And like, I, you know, this is such an important subject. I've recognized that and I'm not someone who's been in this for decades. You know, I'm someone who's I've been actively researching for probably 2 years, if that, maybe just a bit over 2 years. And, you know, in the time that I've managed to pour through documents and videos and documentaries and have my own experiences, you know, it's represent of physical science, you know, material science, a new understanding of energy and exotic propulsion. It's about consciousness, it's about our own place in the universe, it's about how we relate to different things and how ESP and like these types of evolved methods of communication work. It's got so many different elements to it that's why I've made the channel, because it just, you know, it's not like it doesn't seem to just solve one thing. It doesn't just open up a discussion about one thing. It opens up a discussion about almost every aspect of our waking experience, you know? And the fact that you can get into not even a very complex state, because I've never had to go into any sort of deep transcendental meditation, any sort of really, you know, I've never had to remote view or visualize myself going backwards through the universe, back onto the planet and back down to where I am on in my garden. I go outside, I clear my mind, I think happy thoughts, and I talk to the universe, and I know that things are out there, and I'm like, hey, you know, you want to come by and see me, and if you want to be here with me in a good space with a bit of love, and you know, you want to show me your lights or anything like that, please come by, I'm here. And that's as simple as it has been for me. And so I think what's really amazing to me is just like, it's not something that requires some monk level, some Jedi level of discipline, and you know, even though it's good to try and endeavor for those things, it doesn't require that. Everyone can clear their mind a little bit, you know, and maybe I clicked into it a little bit quicker than some other people would, but that just means you might have to practice a little more with meditation and getting your mind into a less hectic space.
Yeah.
But it just, the fact that it's so easy to do and that they seem to appear and especially seem to give off a visual exhibition when you have reached the correct state, like when you're actually vibrating. I'll tell you what, one thing that was really cool was I was outside and I had no real intention of doing a CE5. I was just outside for a minute looking up at the stars. And I just had this really pure thought come through my head. I was just thinking about all of it. And I was just like, it's all just love. Like at the ultimate level, this is all just love. And the biggest flash just from the middle of the darkness, just right above my head, just this huge flash. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, thank you. And it did it again, it flashed again. And it's like, it's so simple. People think it's all about getting into these really complex states and like, right, I'm going to become one with the universe. It's like, no, it's just about, if you start resonating at the level that is pure for a human being, like of love, of like, you know, because no one wants to be hateful, no one wants to be judgeful, no one wants these things. You know deep down that you want love and happiness, even if it sounds corny, you know you want that. Mm-hmm. And so if you just go from that state and ask something to share in that moment with you, or make yourself known to the universe like I did by pronouncing and announcing it's in love, something goes, yeah buddy, it is. And it seems to pop up when you get into that state. And so that's what I was saying before about how the fact that I've had contact has led to me meditating, has led to me have more contact, has led to me, you know, it's all just kind of led onto a path with, if one of those things didn't happen, if the contact didn't happen, then the meditation and the practice of self-control wouldn't have happened. So like, how, you know, someone I speak with was like, you know, how do you know they're not tricking you? And I was like, well, if they are tricking me, all they've done is trick me into understanding units of consciousness and wanting to be a positive person in my life and eating less bad food and trying to smoke less. Yeah. And, you know, like, so it's bettered my life. Mm-hmm. And so I can't see it as like, you know, a negative thing per se for me. But it just seems like it's so profound in so many different ways. And the fact that if you just get to a better state of mind yourself, and if you work on your own way of being as a human, the bonus to that is you can actually start to quite easily reach out to other things.
Yeah.
That's just the bonus of it. CE5 to me is about self-improvement leading to contact.
And I think too, I just watched a couple nights ago, Richard Dolan interviewed Travis Taylor of the new Skinwalker show. And I thought he had an amazing way of explaining how the hitchhiker phenomena works, right? Which many people know from Skinwalker Ranch, but also from, you know, scary stories about people being in seances or using Ouija boards and all this stuff. And then they go home and the thing follows them home.
And so, the Egyptian tombs.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. And so many things, and exactly what you're talking about in a different way too, which I think is exactly the same way so quantum entanglement is how he said it. So the fact that he's, I think he said he was there for 4 months on Skinwalker Ranch trying to investigate this and still potentially doesn't believe it. Right. He was quite, you could tell his mind is a little bit open, but on that interview, he was quite sure to continue
held back.
To say, yes, that it's like in the 1 inch of the 5 foot high
documents
of what could potentially be what's really happening. He didn't really want to admit too much what he actually believed, but him saying, Travis saying the phenomena followed him home, he was saying it's quantum entanglement, that just him being there and interacting with whatever it is
created a connection that doesn't matter time and space, like
exactly. And how you're saying for CE5s, it's the same thing. You're sitting in a space and entangling with someone who's sitting in the same space. So there's a connection, and I think that might also of course explain like people who have been, you know, followed abduction their whole life or anything. It doesn't matter if you're in the same space as, you know, your guardian angel, or, you know, however you want to say it, Jesus or whatever. I think you're entangling with the being, whatever you perceive the being's actual form to be. But, and then it follows you your whole life, I think, is just because once you've entangled with it, you've matched the frequency of that being, whether it's something that happens to be negative or positive. But once you separate, you know, a lot of people try running away, and I used to, maybe not so much anymore, but I remember in the old days, it wasn't even Ancient Aliens. I don't even know what those shows were called, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, but there's a handful of UFO shows where people would say, you know, every time they got in their car and they drove away, that the ships would follow them and they were scared. And so they would move to a different state. And they're like, but they're still here. And now they're getting my daughter or whatever. And it's like, I think that's the whole thing, right? You entangle with it for whatever reason it is. And then it doesn't matter where you go. And well, say with this CE5 contact, you could go anywhere and still have CE5 contact because you've entangled with them. So they're going to, once you're showing that you're vibing at their, you know, same rate or whatever, they're going to flash you because they're everywhere. All the different
frequency
and vibrational beings. And as soon as you connect and entangle with one of them that shows the same thing, they're going to react to you because you've just entangled with them. And then they're going to keep coming up to you because they know you now. They can see you because you are vibing at their frequency. And so you're connected from then on.
Well, that's it. It's a science that is like starting to be understood. I mean, the thing is, like, it's a science that's starting to be understood on some levels, and other levels there has been remote viewing since the 1950s. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's really crazy that you've just had these decades and decades of extrasensory perception and non-locality like research that has provided pretty much like ironclad evidence that non-locality exists and that perception and awareness is not really dictated by time and space and relativity. And I was just thinking with entanglement, it's actually kind of similar to what you experienced with that thing on the lake. The fact that when you moved, it moved that way. When you moved it, it's like you. It's almost like you could imagine two balls. You're here, and there's a line between you two, and you can't go any further towards each other. You know, like, I don't know that it, there's obviously was a connection when you were standing there and walking towards it, and it's almost like an invisible energy that's just kind of connected you both together.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I felt like. There was the, I don't know why I saved the word pole, but it really felt like there was a pole connected to me in it, and it would not come any closer. But yeah, you're right for that as well. Any kind of entangling, I think, whatever it is, whatever being or vibration you hold. And that's why you don't have to, like you said, be some kind of like saint or monk or something like that, meditating for 25 years. It's like, you have to be able to go into that space. And I think and again, with this lockdown and stuff, my hope or my belief is that more people, just by being less stressed about work and not like everyone is, of course, a lot of people are very stressed about work and have lost their jobs and stuff. But I mean, for some people that are at home and, you know, have given in, they can't do anything about it. So just give in to it and or whatever. I think those people are, yes. And maybe that's something as well. They're like foreseeing and manifesting a future that they think that they can have. And I think that's even part of it as well, is you're almost, and I know, I can't think of who, or maybe I can't think of who it was that said this, but you know, retrocausality is kind of the same thing, where you're trying to, I think Bashar maybe it was at one point said something like this, you need to kind of connect when you're meditating or when you're quiet, you know, connect with your future self, the future self of the life of the timeline that you want to have. So to reach out and communicate and connect with that future self and ask it to like help bring you and shift you to the place where you can be in the best possible future that you can have for yourself. Connect with that version of yourself, meditate on it, and try to make the connection, so it can kind of, the future you can reach back, and it's kind of like a handshake, they call it, right? Retrocausality or causation. The past you and the future you have to have this interaction with each other, where they do the handshake, where they reline up what exactly your future is, and then you're stuck in the path of the future that you want to have. And if you have intention, and if you have the belief system, I guess, as well, and you direct your own consciousness to be doing things like this, I think that this is also part of the manifestation. So everyone being at home and just kind of thinking like that, or unconsciously kind of doing the same thing, connecting with a better future of themselves. And if they're also maybe asking for help from their people, their beings or their angels or whatever you want to say, help with the beings around them to direct you more into a path of a better future and the future that you want. And also the meditations, just the intention of the meditation to make the planet healthier and better, and to make the community stronger and the government, you know, be more aligned with the people and all this kind of stuff. I think all of that is setting up the future self and entangling you with the future that you know that you can have. And then you're all shifting over a little bit, and maybe that's the shift in the awakening as well. I think it's all the same thing with different words kind of, but having the intention and being in a more meditative or clear-minded state or whatever, trying to make something happen that you know could happen by entangling with your future self, and then just like keeping on thinking, I want the future Desta, the best Desta that could possibly be out of all the parallel universes that I could be existing in right now. I want to shift to the best place that I could possibly be in. So, you know, make an intention to entangle yourself with that future self, and then keep a constant connection with it, and kind of like hope that, or assume or believe that you're going to then get to that future or whatever, right?
Well, there we go. That's probably a really good place to kind of finish off this conversation. Entangle yourself with the future that you want to have, and use this time right now, during when lots of people are locked down and we're all trying to figure out what to do and we're bored. Try and meditate, try and get into that quiet space of awareness, and from there manifest what your future outcome is to be. I think that's a really good, really good message to put out right now.
Great. Thanks.
Dessa, this has been awesome. Yeah, this has been a really good chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm sure we'll end up doing this again. This has been really good. So I'm sure we'll catch up again down the line. And I'll be back in the rabbit hole meetings. I'll pop my head in sometimes and say hello. Okay. So please just keep sending me the invites. Eventually I'll pop in.
Absolutely, I will.
All right. Well, look, you take care of yourself.
And, thanks, Jay.
You know, stay healthy. And I hope that, you know, you and yours, all your family are healthy in this time. And,
thank you as well.
Thank you once again for being on here with us. It's been awesome.
Great. Thank you. We'll see you.
See you later. Take care.
Bye.